All right, Rabbosai, good morning. Let's begin. A lot to do today, Baruch Hashem. Today's daf is daf vav. We are picking up on Hey Amud Beis. And we are picking up, a lot to do today, Tani Chada. It is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 lines up from the bottom. Hey Amud Beis. Rabbosai, our shir this morning is dedicated, shirim this month, are dedicated by Yonah and Shashi Ehrenfeld in memory of Yonah's grandfather, Joseph Ehrenfeld, Yosef and Shmuel Zichron of the Bracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an Aliyah and the family a Nechama. And I'll say with that, let's begin. Tani Chadus. Remember again, we're speaking about the use of the Shemen HaMishcha. So Tani Chadus, B'tchila Matzik Shemen HaRosho, V'achar Kach Nosin Lo Shemen Bein Risein. So the Gemara says that... It's really Tan Rabbanan. Moshkenes Hamalachin Kiminezer. When anointing a king, we take the Shemen HaMishcha, we do it around the head of the king like a crown. Vesakohanim Kimin Ki. Ramanashia Kimin Ki Yavani. And Ramanashia says like an X. Tani Chada. So Moshe, we have two different opinions here. Vitchila Motzik Shemen Aroshova. Achakach Nosin Loshom Ben Riseinov. So Moshe, first opinion says that when anointing the Kohen Gadol, the first thing you do is you pour the Shemen HaMishcha on his head, and afterwards you put it between his eyelids. So putting it between his eyelids represents this smearing it almost like across the bottom of the forehead between the eyes. The Tani Achrisi, and another Tana says, B'tchila nosin lo shem ben risein, v'achar kach matzik lo shem ben arosho. Second opinion says, no, first you smear it between the eyelids, then you pour it on the head. So which one is it? Tanaihi, suppose it's machlokes tanoim, as to what is the proper order for the anointing of the Kohen Gadol. Si'ika lemandar m'shich adifa, v'ika lemandar m'yitzika adifa. Suppose the fundamental machlokes over here is, what is a more important form of anointing? Is it m'shicha, which again represents the pouring of the smearing of the oil between the eyelids, that's m'shicha, or is it the pouring of the oil over the head? My time demand amar yitzika adifa. What's the reason who says that the pouring is more important? Shine emar vayitzok mishemen hamishcha al rosh aron. Because Moshe, the pasuk kind of says quite explicitly that Moshe Rabbeinu poured the anointing oil over the head of Aaron. Umandar mishicha adifa. And the opinion that says that mishicha anointing with oil is more important. Kasavar shekenis rabel eitzel klisharis. Because Moshe, that is how all of the service utensils were inaugurated, not through pouring of oil, but rather through the smearing of the oil. But one second, the pasuk itself says that the yitzika, the pouring, is done first, and then the smearing of the oil afterwards. This is what it means to say, the way three depas according to the man damar is, why is it that you were able to pour the oil on the head of the Kohen Gadol? Only because the Kohen was first anointed, right, with the oil between his eyelids. Good. So we'll say fundamental machlokes, ultimately again, as to how the Kohen Gadol was anointed. Interestingly enough, there does not seem to be any dispute about the king. So that it appears that took the Shemen HaMishcha went around his head. But in the Kohen Gadol, it appears that we have three different possibilities. Either the key, the X, smearing between the eyelids, pouring oil over the head, or some combination of the pouring and the smearing. Good. Tan Rabbanan. Both says beautiful Gemara. Kishemen HaTov HaYored. So the Gemara over here quotes the Pasuk from the Pasuk in its entirety is Tehillim. Kishemen HaTov HaRosh Al HaRosh, like the good oil on the head, Yored Al HaZakan, it pours down on the beard, Zikan Aaron, the beard of Aaron. So David HaMelech creates this incredible imagery of the Shemen HaMishcha being poured onto the head of Aaron and pouring down into his beard. So the Gemara has it so beautiful. Kimin shtei tipin margolios hayu tluyos la'aron bezikno. But say so. This is even after Aaron was anointed, there were always like two droplets of Shemen HaMishcha which hung on the bottom of Aaron's beard. Amrav Kana. So beautiful. When he would speak, the droplets apparently would like move up, nestle themselves by the roots of his beard. They will say, so again, Moshe Rabbeinu was very concerned about this. What was he concerned about? Shema chas v'shalom ma'alti. What he was concerned, Shema Mishcha. What he was concerned about was, look, maybe I committed Mi'ila with the Shema Mishcha. How did I commit Mi'ila with the Shema Mishcha? I used too much. If the droplets are sitting there, and obviously I'll say this is pretty miraculous, right? The droplets are always sitting there, and when Aaron talks, the droplets move up. So Moshe Rabbeinu thought, maybe I used too much Shema Mishcha. Too much Shema Mishcha is Mi'ila. Yotas Abaskova Amra Kital Chermon Sheyoret Al Haret Zion. That ultimately, again, the droplets on the beard of Aaron are like the dew on the Hermon mountain. Matal inbo me'ila, just like there's no me'ila with tal. Af shemen shirat azakan Aaron inbo me'ila. So too, again, the oil that comes on the beard of Aaron, there is no me'ila either. Va'adayin Aaron hayadoig shamoshlo ma'alvani ma'alti. Aye, but Aaron was concerned. Maybe I'm committing me'ila that the Shemana Mishcha is sitting in my beard. Yotas abbas kol va'amrlo hini ma'tovu ma'noim sheves achim gam yachad ma'moshe lo ma'al af ata lo ma'alta. It was such a magnificently beautiful gemara. Magnificently beautiful gemara. So I say there's so much to say on this. Why does Aaron have this miracle that the beads of the Shemana Mishcha are sitting in his beard? So I remember again, as we mentioned yesterday, the anointing of Shemana Mishcha represents the embracing of a destiny, being anointed for something incredible. You're anointed when you are first inaugurated. The notion of the Shemana Mishcha sitting in the beard of Aaron represents the idea that he always maintained that freshness and newness in his Avodas Hashem, the same way in which he was initially inaugurated. There's more to say, but we'll leave it for a different time. Ten Rabbanon. Ein Moshchenes HaMalachim Ela Ala Ma'ayan. We only go ahead and anoint kings by a spring. By a spring. So quite a beautiful Gemara. So therefore we only anoint kings by a wellspring. And it's symbolic. It's symbolic. Just like the wellspring, just like the spring flows, so too the monarchy should continue and flow. So I will say, to which we come to a Gemara which is incredible in Yonah the Yoma. Amarava. So let's say a person wants to know if he's going to live out the year or not. Going to live out the year or not. So what should he do? Take a candle during the days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Take a candle during Aseres Yemei Teshuva. Put it in a home where the wind doesn't blow. Because obviously if the wind blows, the candle is going to go out. What? Imashich nehorei. If the candle remains, so bring it in, put it in a home where there's not like a strong crosswind. If the candle remains lit, he knows that he will live out the year. Similarly, I'm about to engage in a business deal, and I want to know, am I going to be successful in the business deal or not? Nirbit, this is like insider trading over here. Nirbit tarnagola, right? Get yourself a rooster, get yourself a chicken. Ish shaman v'shapir, neida d'matzlach. If the chicken gets fat, chicken fattens up, that is a good simon that you're going to be successful. Hayman d'boy b'nefik ba'archa, u'boy d'nei d'yahadu l'beisa. But let's say a person is going on a trip, and they want to know, are they going to return home safely? Neil make him a base of they should go to a home that is a bit darkened. Ichazi tap of vav, ichazi bava le bava de bava. Neida da asi le besa. Ultimately, again, if he sees the shadow of his shadow, in other words, we'll say, what that means is when you have a shadow often projects a secondary shadow. If you see your secondary shadow, neida da asi le besa. That indicates that you're going to come home safely. The Lav Milsa, the Gemara says, now we'll say, this is actually interesting. The Gemara says, Lav Milsa means, don't do this. There's a machlokis as to, does don't do this just apply to the shadow test? Or does don't do this apply to all of this other stuff? Machlokis, I'll show them how to read the Gemara. Dilma chol shadaito misra mazle. Because maybe something will happen. The candle will go out. The chicken will nebachta. You're not going to see the shadow of your shadow. And you're going to feel bad. Chol shadaito, you're going to feel bad. And I will say, what does that mean? Oh, misra mazle. What does it mean you're going to feel bad and your mazle is going to be compromised? I will say, this is an incredible thing. You know, in general, Chazal always understood that the way you feel about yourself and the way you feel about your life very much plays out in the events that occur around you. People who are doomsday prophets, right, often find themselves in the midst of doomsday scenarios, right? We become almost like, we live lives of self-fulfilling prophecies. So ultimately, the Gemara says that if any of these omens don't go right, you run the risk of ultimately, again, kind of becoming a doomsday prophet, and that's going to play out in your life. Amar Rabbi, I was saying, why is this important for us? There's much more to say about these omens on a variety of different levels. On the most basic level, there seems to be a direct violation of Lo Sinach Hashun. We don't engage in omens, right? We dafka do not do this. So there's what to say. I'm thinking maybe over maybe Monday or Sunday or Monday of next week, and there's a little bit more time, Mir Sashim will focus on some of these sugyas, because as you're going to see, look what it leads into. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, well, now, hashta da amrit simna milsa. Now that you just told me that omens are significant, which is what the Gemara just said, yehi ragil inish lemechal reish shasa. A person should try to eat the following foods on Rosh Hashanah. Which foods? Kra, gourds, rubya, fenugreek, karsi, leeks, silka, beets, tamri, dates. It will say, why should a person eat these foods? So Rashi points out over here. Rashi says, Vahani, ika de gadli maher, v'ika de maski. So this is actually very interesting. In the Gemara's first concept of what we call simna milsa, right? If you open up the machzer, and you open up the section after Kiddush, you're going to see a section that's called simna milsa, right? That's taken from these words in the Gemara. And the English translation of that is significant omens. So the Gemara says, now Abayis, now they show me that omens are significant, we should do omens on Rosh Hashanah, right? And therefore, again, the Gemara says, eat these foods. What's unique about these foods? So what's unique about these foods ultimately is, Rashi says, either one of two qualities. Either they grow quickly or they're sweet. Either way, what they represent is a sense of vitality. Therefore, again, on Rosh Hashanah, you should eat foods that represent some sense of vitality. Again, when we have more time, again, whenever we do our shiur on this, either Sunday or Monday, we'll discuss, of course, missing from this list is apples, right? Missing from this list is the paradigmatic simna milsa of an apple and honey. So we'll discuss why that is. That's obviously because the apple does not come on the scene until much later. Much later. So we'll discuss all of that. But again, just understand that the notion of simna milsa, which on Rosh Hashanah, you know, really plays a very significant role both ways. The same way that the Shulchan Aruch quotes the minog that we don't eat egozim on Rosh Hashanah, right? We don't eat nuts on Rosh Hashanah. Why? That's negative simna milsa, right? You know, the gematria, chet, everything like all comes from this Gemara. Incredible. So the Gemara goes like that. Amalei Rav Mesharshi Libnei, ki bo isi lamezel mingmar kamei rabchon. So Rav Mesharshi said to his sons, this is incredible. When you go and learn before your Rebbe, Grosume ikara masnisin. Review the information before the shir. Vahadar olu kame rabchon. And then go to learn with your Rebbe. So I said, so this is actually incredible. What was he telling his kids? Come to shir prepared. Come to shir prepared. Because if you come to shir prepared, first of all, you'll learn more. Second of all, you'll make sure that if you do end up asking questions, the questions are good. Obviously, every question is wonderful, right? Every question is fantastic, except the ones that aren't, right? And so he says over here, come to shir prepared and make sure you learn the sugya beforehand. V'chi yasivu kamei rabchon, chazlu p'meid rabchon. When you're learning from your Rebbe, look at your Rebbe's lips. Study his lips. Shene emar, v'ayu einecha ro'os es morecha. So it's really quite beautiful. So apparently Mesharshi felt that the notion of seeing your Rebbe wasn't it didn't just seeing your Rebbe's face, it was seeing the lips move as they deliver the words of Torah. V'chi grisisu, v'shmaita, and when you are reviewing your learning, grosu amaya. This is beautiful. Review your learning by running water. The same way that the water flows, the learning should flow for you as well. Which I both say, the truth is, we know that when you're in nature, so the tranquility of nature is often exceptionally helpful for one's learning in general. So learn by the water, beautiful. Better to live in the garbage dumps of Masa Machasya and not in the palaces of Pumbedisa. Now Rashi understands that that's because, even though Pumbedisa, by the way, was a major town, right, with a major yeshiva, Rashi points out the way that there were a lot of thieves in Pumbedisa. So because there were a lot of thieves there, better to live in a place of honesty. Tav Gildana Sarya Lamechol Mikuscho derami kipi. Better to eat a gildana fish that is about to go, that is about to spoil, than kusach that is so good that it could break rocks. Apparently, good kusach, right? Good kusach could break through rocks. I don't know what it does to your kishkas, but it could break through rocks. So apparently what he's saying is, better to have the gildana fish that is about to spoil than the best type of kusach. Now Rashi understands this, that literally, again, kusach, as good as it might taste, has terrible effects on heart disease and eyesight. So Rashi understands over here that Lamaisa, again, this was like a health issue. Others understand that what Rav Mishash was telling to his children was what? Don't get used to luxuries. Don't become one of those people who requires luxuries to live. Because once you require luxuries, once they become an indispensable part of your appetite, life is more difficult. Better to get by, better to be the kind of person who's able to make it by on almost spoiled fish. Here's the good news. You can always find almost spoiled fish. You can't always find the best kind of kusach. Incredible lesson. Vatis Gemara goes weiter. Vatis palo Chana v'tomer alatz libi b'Hashem rama karni. So we'll say Chana davens. This is when Chana's davening in Shiloh for her son. So what does she say? She says alatz libi b'Hashem. Actually, I'm sorry. This is after. So already over here, she's been given the son. So the pasuk says, "Alatz libi b'Hashem." Literally, again, my heart rejoices in Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Rama karni. Rama karni means my horn has been exalted. Rama karni v'lam rama pachi. My horn and not my jug. David and Shlomo shenimshach beker nimshichu machusan. David and Shlomo, who were anointed from Shemana Mishcha that was kept in a horn, their monarchy endured. Shal v'yehu shenimshichu minapach. So Shaul and Yehu, who were anointed from a jug, their malchus, their monarchy, did not endure. Okay? So the Gemara goes weiter. So we'll say again, one who goes ahead, we'll say, always a good idea, by the way, for these kind of Gemaras, you know, you fold down the top of your page, you should just know where this sugya is of Simna Milsa, because this is like an incredible, overwhelming sugya. Like I said, I'm going to do more justice to it over the weekend. But incredible. So we'll say again, the Mishnah said one of the things in which you're chayiv karis for is one who goes ahead and makes kitores. So mefatim esakitores lil modba lilamidba olamosh latzira potter. So we already saw this yesterday. One who goes ahead and makes kitores, either to go ahead and learn the trade, right, or to give it over to the tzibur, is potter lahariachba, but to smell it chayiv. So if you create kitores in order to create the aromatic, you know, the aroma for yourself, you're chayiv. V'hameiriach ba pater. But I will say, if somebody, let's say I come to the Beis HaMikdash, and they're burning the kitores, and I go out of my way to smell it, I'm pater. Now I will say, and this is actually very important. I'm pater, ultimately, there's no kares. There might be me'ila. We're going to see this in just a moment. So the Gemara says, Ela Shemal. So in other words, I'm not chayiv. So if I go to the Beis HaMikdash and I purposely get smell benefit from the Ketores, Ketores smells beautiful, I'm pater from kares, but I am chayiv from me'ila because I've just inappropriately used Beis HaMikdash property. Umi'ika me'ila bereach. So we'll say, this is fascinating. Is there a concept of ni'ilah with scent, with smell? Or is it supposed to say smell? So right, scent is an intangible. So is there a concept of ni'ilah by smell? Right, when it comes to sound, sight, and scent, there is no ni'ilah. Reach achar shetala tmuraso in ba mishum meila. Shara ein lechad davar shenasa mitzvaso maolin bo. So the first thing says, you're right. It depends. After the mitzvah, in other words, what's the mitzvah of ketores? The mitzvah of ketores is to make it, burn it, and then what? Let the smoke go up in a straight column. After the smoke goes up and the mitzvah has been done, there is no longer any meila with the ketores. But if you come to the Beis HaMikdash after the pillar goes up and you smell it, you're good to go. But halacha l'maaseh, if at the end of the day you smelled it before the pillar went up, before the mitzvah was discharged, that's when there would be mi'ila. So the Gemara is suggesting over here two things Rabbi saying. Number one, that there is mi'ila with scent. When the Braisa said there's no mi'ila with scent, what was that talking about? after the mitzvah was done with the ketores, it's no longer subject to me'ilah. And the Gemara uses this concept to build a bigger principle, which is we all know that once you perform a mitzvah with a particular item and it's done, it is no longer subject to the laws of me'ilah. To which the Gemara says, really? Alamalo, Vahari Chumas Hadeshen, Denasis Mitzvah. So what's it? Look at Chumas Hadeshen. Remember, Chumas Hadeshen is the leftover ash. What's the halacha? Kohen shows up in the morning. What does he do? He removes some of the ash. Not all of the ash, some of the ash. Right? And yet what? Mo'al in bo. Even after the Kohen removes some of the ash, the remaining ash is still subject to me'ilah. And even that ash afterwards has been removed is subject to me'ilah. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you, me'ilah is different. Mishum dahavi chumas adeshen u'big day kuhuna shnei ksuv nabayin ke'achar. Because we'll say chumas adeshen and big day kuhuna. We'll discuss again what big day kuhuna is in just a moment. That's actually, we're going to see, referring to the clothing of the kohanim from Yom Kippur. Our two psukim, v'habayin ke'achar eimlam. So we'll say, could be the chumas adeshen and big day kuhuna are exceptions. Both of those happen to be situations that what? Where even after the mitzvah is performed, they are still subject to me'ilah, but they do not create a principle. They are the exceptions and not the rule. So we'll say, ultimately, again, that's fine according to the Rabbanon, but according to Rabbi Dosa, what is there to say? After all, the Sanyo, v'hini cham sham, we'll say this is talking about, again, the begadim of the Kohen Gadol. After Yom Kippur, he takes off the clothing, v'hinicham sham, he leaves them there. Melamed, shetun and gniza. But you see, after the Kohen Gadol uses his clothing on Yom Kippur, what do you do with them afterwards? Shemus. Rabbi Dosa Omer, k'sherin hein l'kohen hedyot. Rabbi Dosa says they can be used afterwards by a regular Kohen. U'matam l'omar v'hinicham sham. So why does the pasuk say you shall leave them there? Shalishtamish b'hen b'yom kippurim acher. Ultimately, again, because to teach us that what about saying, once they are used for a Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol cannot use them again for his subsequent Yom Kippur. But according to Rabbi Dosa, they can be used by a Kohen Hedyot. To which the Gemara says, so according to Rabbi Dosa, he will say, Mishub David Shumas Adeshen Ve'egla Arufa Shnei Ksuvan Abayin Ke'achad. V'chol Shnei Ksuvan Abayin Ke'achad Ein Melamdin. So also Rabbi Dosa will say, because again, Shumas Adeshen Egla Arufa are both halachas that tell us that even after the mitzvah has been performed, the object is still subject to me'ilah. But because this is stated in two instances, these two instances become the exception and not the rule. The rule is still that once an item has been used for its purpose, then what? It is no longer subject to me'ilah. B'chumas Adeshen and Egla Ruf will be the exception to that rule. This Sanya, this Samo Eitzam, is V'yachmanam Shetu'un Ingeniza. Because we'll say ultimately again, because what's the pasuk says, you shall leave it by the Mizbeach, teaches me that it requires Geniza. Egla Rufa, what's the case of Egla Rufa? Mahi. Tesanya va'arfo shamasa Egla benachal. Pasuk says, you shall decapitate the Egla there in the Nachal. Melameid shetu'unin Geniza. So we'll say, the Lashon of Sham, the Gemara is darshaning to mean that what? That Allah Chalamaisa, even after you decapitate the calf, it must remain there, i.e. it is subject to non-use. You cannot use it, it is subject to me'ilah. Ulaman damar shnei ksuvan abayin ke'achar melamdin. And according to the opinion who says that two psukim ultimately again, that espouse the same concept, cannot be used to teach a source concept. We've seen that many times before. So the Gemara says, Hacha vade in melamdin, mishum dahavi tremi ute. But we'll say it's even compounded over here. Why? Because by both of these instances, the Torah uses lashon of a miut. How so? Betshumas hadeshen ksev vissamo, hadin in midiachrinilo. By Chumos Hadeshen, it says, you shall leave it here, which indicates this shall be left here. But this halacha doesn't apply to anything else. Kabi egla arufa ksiv, second white line, ha'arufa. Arufa in midi achrin alo. So ha'arufa teaches me that what? That halacha lamaisa, the arufa in, it is dafka, the decapitated calf that must be left here, i.e. must be buried. It's subject to me'ilah, but not anything else. Well, so good. So therefore, what the Gemara tells me over here is it seems to be that the concept that the Gemara advanced still remains intact, which is, normally, once an item has been used for its particular sacrificial or mitzvah purpose, it is no longer subject to me'ilah. There are definitely exceptions to that rule. Egla Arufa is an exception to that rule. Chumas Hadesher is an exception to that rule. The clothing of the Kohen Gadol may be an exception to that rule. That seems to be a machlokes between Rabbi Dosa and the Rabbanon. Furthermore, when it comes to Ketores, is the smelling of Ketores, is that subject to Me'ilah? And the answer is, it depends. Prior to the performance of the mitzvah, or fulfillment of the mitzvah, yes. After the fulfillment of the mitzvah, it appears that the answer is no. Tan Rabbanan, we'll say, here we go, beautiful Gemara. Pitum Ketores. Right, Pitum Ketores. We'll say, again, says the Gemara, here is how you make the Ketores. And we're going to go through all the spices. Hatsari, Vatsi, Porn, Vachelbana, Vahalavona, Mishkal, Shivim, Shal, Shivim, Mana. We'll say all of these aforementioned spices. You bring 70 mana of these spices. Remember again, it was as we're going to see, they would mass produce the Ketores. Even though you don't have to, technically speaking, the Kohen Gadol could go ahead and make his Ketores every day prior to the Ketores offering, but that's not what they did. They mass produced the Ketores. Mor uktsia shibola esner v'karkum mishkal shisha asar shal shisha asar mana. We'll say, so the mor uktsia shibola esner karkum, these were 16 mana. Hakshot Hakosh name Asar, Vikilufa, Shlosha, Vikinmon Tisha. So we'll say again, we're not going to go through all of the spices. Kshot is 12 mana, Kilufa is 13 mana, Kinmon was 9 mana, Boris, Karshina, Tisha, Kabin, 9 Kabin of this Borin, Karshisha, Yayin, Kafrisin, Sin, Tlasa. I'm sorry, Yayin, Kafrisin, Sin, Tlasa, Kabin. Tlasa. So we'll say the Yayin Kafrisin, wine, ultimately again, 3 kabin. Im ein lo Yayin Kafrisin, if you don't have this type of Yayin Kafrisin, maybe Chamar Chivaryan Atik. So apparently, again, Yayin Kafrisin was a type of wine. If you don't have Yayin Kafrisin, you could just use aged white wine. Melach Stomis Rova. So Sodomite salt, ultimately again, was the quarter of a kav. Ma'ala Ashan. We'll say Ma'ala Ashan is the name of a spice, right? That apparently is the spice that caused the smoke to ascend in a straight pillar. Kol Shehu. All you need is a little bit of it. Rabbi Nassan Omer Af Kipas Hayardin Kol Shehu. So apparently another spice, Kipas Hayardin, Rabbi Yishmael said, as much as any amount is fine. So the Gemara goes right there. Vim Nassabav Dvash Pasla. If you put honey into the Ketores, ultimately again it passes the honey. Chiser Achas Mikosam Anel, Chayiv Misa. If you omit any of the spices, you're a chayiv misa. Reb Shimon Omer Hatsari Eino Ela Sraf Hanotef Miatzei Aktaf. Reb Shimon says that ultimately, again, that tsari is the sap that comes out from kitaf trees. Boris Karshina Sheshavin Boas Hatziporen. You add in this spice, Boris Karshina, which I will say was there in order to whiten the tziporen spice. Kadesh Tehe Noah. Yai Kafrisin Sheshorin Boas Hatziporen. Kadesh Tehe Aza. So what did you do with the Kafrisin wine? You would soak the tziporen in there in order that it should have a strong aroma. Vahalo me raglayin yafinla. But apparently urine could be used for the same thing. That apparently, again, if you were to go ahead and soak the tziporin in the urine, it would also bring out a strong smell. Elashim machnisim eraglayim lemikdash. We'll say there's a reason urine could work. The reason it did not use urine is because you can't bring urine into the Beis HaMikdash. To which the Gemara says, Misiyele de Rabbi Yossi. So this seems to support the position of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Chanina. Damar Kodeshi. The Pasuk says, it is Kodesh, speaking about the Ketores. Kodesh Tiyalachem, Kol Ma'asel Lo Yu Ela B'Kodesh. We'll say that what? Where was the Ketores made? The Ketores itself was made in the Beis HaMikdash. This is actually quite interesting. So apparently, one would have thought, where do you have to make the Ketores? Anywhere. I mean, it doesn't really matter where it's made. Obviously, it has to be made in a state of Tara, but Lav Dafka that has to be made in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says over here, the drush over here of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina is Kodeshi, Kodesh Tialochem, it is Kodesh, meaning every step of it must be Kodesh. And from here you see that it has to be made in the Beis HaMikdash. But say, to bolster that is why we can't include urine in the ingredient legend. Ultimately, why? Because you can't bring urine into the Beis HaMikdash. Meis Vahyu Ben Dram Haruyun Karbanos HaTzibor. very interesting sugya. If I'm makdish my property, and in my property are things that are fit for communal offerings, yinosnu le'umnin bischaron. So those are given to the workers of the Beis HaMikdash for their wages. What are we talking about? When you say things that are fit for communal sacrifice, or communal offerings, what are we referring to? If you want to say that I have animals in my estate that I was just makdish, we already spoke about what to do with animals that are in an estate where someone has makdish the estate. If you're telling me that it's referring to wine, to oil, or to fine flowers, ultimately, again, we've spoken about that as well. Elav Ketores. Rather, it must be that what? That I'm makdish my estate, and in my estate, what do I have? Ketores. So what do we do with that Ketores? Amar Boshia. Ba'osa hanitenes lo'omnen bischaran. So we'll say, we're talking about the type of Ketores that is given to the workers as their wages. These are Beis HaMikdash workers. We'll say, this is incredible. Desanya. Moser Ketores mahayu osinba. We'll say, what would we do with the leftover Ketores? Remember again, as we just said before, as much as you don't have to, bepashlos, they mass produce the Ketores. Now the year is coming to an end. I have leftover Ketores. What do I do with it? Now we'll say, now the reason this is a problem is because Ketores are purchased with the half shkalim. Therefore, the Ketores of that year come from that year's shkalim. Any leftover Ketores can't be used in the following year because the following year's Ketores has to come from what? From the new shkalim. So what do you do with leftover Ketores? So watch this. Mayu also went, Hayu mafishu menos tchara umnin, umichalalin oso al ma'os ha'umnin, Vinostin also umnim bischal. We'll say this is so incredible. So what they do, basically they should have to pay their workers. They would pay their workers money. Then they would say to the workers, would you like to go ahead and redeem your money for some Ketores? Right? Great deal. They would say, sure. The workers would go ahead and redeem the Ketores with their money. The Beis HaMikdash would then do what? So now the Ketores is effectively deconsecrated. The Beis HaMikdash would then go and buy back the Ketores with the new shkalim. That's ultimately, again, how you dealt with leftover Ketores. Maskeh l'ray Yosef, habakulum osaros tani, chozun velokhin osa mitshuma chadasha, v'hachalo tani. So also by all of the other leftover items, it says they would go back and repurchase it from the new shkalim, but here it doesn't say that. Ela amrav Yosef, be'echar misamani Ketores. The case of the Braisa, where I was makdish my estate and I have some Ketores, doesn't literally mean I have Ketores in my possession. Rather, what does it mean? It means that aloch l'maisa, I have one of the ingredients of the Ketores. Good. Tanu Rabbanon, Ketores haisa nasis shin samin ches mana. So we'll say, remember again, the Ketores was made, there are 368 portions of Ketores that were made. Shin samin chei kenegin yimosachama, 365 corresponding to the days of the year. Shloshes meaning Yisir and Shem Machnis Koin Gadol Melo Chafnav B'Yom Kippurim. And Rabbosis, why the extra three? The extra three were for the avoda of the Koin Gadol on Yom Kippur. Right? You needed three extra handfuls of Ketores for the avoda of the Koin Gadol. So interestingly enough, what kind of ended up happening is they technically made enough. In other words, they made 368 portions. But as we saw already in yesterday's daf, the truth is they didn't measure exactly. They always added an extra. So inevitably, you had extra Ketores. Also, remember again, Abosai, a lot of times Ketores is based on what? Is based on the size of the Kohen's hand. So depending on the Kohen, small-handed Kohen, large-handed Kohen, the point is they had leftover Ketores. The rest of the Ketores was given to the craftsmen as their wages. As we just said before, what did they do with the leftover Ketores? They went ahead and they separated out the wages of the workers. And ultimately, again, they went ahead and redeemed it for the money of the umnin, v'nosin also the umnin bischaran, v'chozin v'lochin also mitrumas halishka. So as we just said before, they would pay the umnin, have the umnin redeem the Ketores with their wages, deconsecrate the Ketores, and then go ahead and repurchase it back from the new shkalim. Good. What's it? Don't worry about it. Plenty of time. You don't have to worry. Tanu Rabbanan. Here we go. I see people looking at their watch and turn the page. Tanu Rabbanan. Don't worry. Tanu Rabbanan. Most Akitaris Achas L'Shishim Ol L'Shivim Shana Hayu Mefatnin Osa L'Chatzon. Let's listen to this. Now, the way what ended up happening, by the way, is the leftover Ketores ended up accumulating to the point that the Gemara says actually quite interesting. Once every 60 or 70 years, they didn't have to compound a whole batch of Ketores. They would be okay just with compounding a new half batch of Ketores. Lefichach, they also say, therefore, in a year like that, Yachid Shepitim Lechatzon Chayiv, dear Rabbi Shimon. Begamir, Shimon Gamliel says that if you had an individual who compounded his own half batch of Ketores, he would be Chayiv. Even though, again, I'm both saying, in a normal year, you'll be Chayiv if you make the full amount of Ketores. In that year, you'll be Chayiv if you're making a half batch. Yishum, so the Gemara says, dear Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Mishar Mishum Askana, Vashlish Urviya Lo Shamati. And if you only made a third or a quarter of this year, that I didn't hear that he would be chayv. Chacham the Chum say no. B'chol yom v'yom etakim mas kuntah v'yom machnis. Chacham say that in fact they did not mass produce ketores. Instead, what did they do? Every day they produced for what they needed. They produced for what they needed. Therefore, what? Therefore, what Tabo said. Therefore, halacha lemaisa. If that was true, even an individual who produced a relatively small amount of ketores, halacha lemaisa would be chayim. See, the Rava Dama Rava Shemen Amishcha Shepatmu Lechatzon Chayim. Rava says if you take Shemen Amishcha and you compounded only a part of it, or Lechatzon, meaning a half share, you're chayim. Tichsiv Vakitores Asher Teasa Kol She Teasa. Any amount of Ketores that you make, you are chayim for making it. Ay Vaha Afshar Da Avda Pras B'Shachru Sepas Ben Abayim. Why? We're both saying because by Ketores, remember again, if the kohen wanted to make the little bit of ketores necessary for the morning offering, he could do it in the morning, in the afternoon, the afternoon. So therefore, again, assuming that the kohen can make the ketores as needed, if you compound smaller amounts of ketores, halacha lemaisa, you are chayyeh for that. Turn Rabbanan. This is incredible. They would regrind the ketores twice a year. Why? So during the summertime, they would leave the ketores scattered in order that it should not rot, I guess because of the heat and the humidity. In the wintertime, they would keep the ketores together in order that the scent should not dissipate. When you regrind the ketores, listen to this, Omer hadek hetiv hetiv hadek. I would say you should speak when you grind the ketores. And you should say, Hadei Ketiv, grind well, right? Well grind, well ground. Divrei Abba Yosef ben Yochanan. V'shalosh minin yisirin shemehen, v'shalosh manin yisirin shemehen koin gondol machnes v'lo chafna v'yom ekipurim. Nosin osin l'mach tashas v'erev v'yom ekipurim v'shoch kan yofeh k'dei shetehe daka min adaka. And I will say the three portions, of the Kohen Gadol's Ketores for Yom Kippur, they would dafka regrind that on Erev Yom Kippur in order that it should be very fine. Kedisanya daka, the pasuk by the Ketores by Kohen Gadol says daka, it should be fine. Matam lomar, falo kvar ne'emar v'shechachtem ena hadek, matam lomar daka, why does the Torah say another daka by Yom Kippur? Kedish shetei daka mina daka. That by Yom Kippur, we'll say it shouldn't just be fine, but what? It should be the finest of the fine. So they would regrind it on Erev Yom Kippur. Omar, when they would regrind the ketores, they would say these words, Hatif Hadek, well ground, grind well. This is incredible. Apparently, speech is bad for wine. Speech is bad for wine. I've often understood this to mean too much speech is not good when you're drinking wine. Right? That's not what it means over here. What it actually means over here is apparently the act of speaking when you're actually pouring wine or making wine is actually detrimental. It could be that Chazal felt maybe it's just like the heat of one's breath, right? That extra is not good. Okay, but it is good. Apparently, again, speech. So when you grind, speak to your spices. Right? Speak to when you grind your spices. So apparently, again, it brings out even a greater aroma when you speak to them. Rabbi Yochanan, Yud Aleph Samanam Ne'emru L'Moshe B'Sinai. There were 11 spices for the Ketores that were set to Moshe Rabbeinu by Har Sinai. I'm Rav Huna Maikra. What's the possible way to learn this? How do we get to 11? Here we go. I'm Maikra. Kach Lecha Samim. Hashem says to Moshe, take Samim. Trey, that's two. Nataf Ushchilas Vechelbana, three more. Hachamisha, that's five. Vesumim Achrini, another Sumim Chamisha. That's another five. Now we'll say, now again, how we make that jump that Sumim means five, when the first Sumim means two, we'll discuss. Ha Sara, Ulevona Zaka Chad. And Levona Zaka is one. Ha Chad Sri. So you see from here, 11 spices in the Ketores. I, Ve'ema Sumim Klal, Nataf Ushchilas Vechelbana Prat. Samim chazor klal. Maybe it's a klal or pratu klal. Samim is a klal. Natav shchilas and chalbuna, that's a prat, a specific item, specific items. And samim again is a klal. Klal or pratu klal. Klal, so the Gemara says, chazor klal. Klal or pratu klal. Iyot tadan elakina prat. Because whenever you have a klal or pratu klal, the klal is defined by the prat. Ma prat mufurash, we'll say first wide line. Ma prat mufurash, davar shekoter va'ole berechon. No, Dave, just like the prat, I will say something that ultimately, again, koter va'olah v'osei means it causes smoke, and the smoke ascends. V'recho no, Dave, and it's sent, wafts. Av kol davar shekoter va'olah v'recho no, Dave. So to, in order to be part of the Ketores family, you must satisfy this criteria. It must generate smoke, the smoke must ascend, and it must have a strong scent. V'chitema im kein lichtov kra chad prata. If that's the case, then why does the pasuk have to say in the prat three items? Let it just say one of the spices, and I would have said again with one of them. Then that's a klal upratu klal. Why do you have three items mentioned in the middle? Loi mitzrach tzrichi. You need all of them. I'll tell you why. Because of nataf, I would have just said nataf hava mina mina ilon. I would have said that it only applies in Ketores, only made from things that grow on a tree. Aval gidule karkalo, but things that grow from the ground are not including Ketores. Therefore, mishum hachi kasav ushcheles. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk shcheles, which grows from the ground. V'kasav ushcheles havamin gidule karka in aval min ilon imolo. And therefore, would have just said shcheles. I would have thought only items that grow from the ground are Ketores. Things that grow from the tree can't be used in Ketores. Mishum hachi ksev kasav nataf. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says nataf, which grows from the tree. I the chelbina. What about chelbina? What is that doing there? Legufei asa mishum shareach ra. Chelbina, we'll say, is there because chelbina by itself actually does not smell good. So I'm going to thought, therefore, chelbina should not be included at all. Therefore, chelbina requires a statement. So we'll say, so therefore, again, you need nataf, shcheles, and chelbina together in the prat there. Why? Because that teaches me that Ketores comes from items that grow from trees, ground, and even if they have a bad odor by themselves, are still included. So the Gemara says, Im kain, so mikach lecha nafkale. So ultimately, and therefore, you can learn that from kach lecha. Ve'ema samim basrai treininu kisamim kadma. So also remember again, in the tabulation or the calculation of the 11 spices, you said the first samim is 2, the second samim represents 5. Why don't you say the second summon represents 2, just like the first one? To which the Gemara says, "Ve'ema summon basrai train ninu ki summon kedat kadmoi." Today the second summon is 2, just like the first one. Mk nichtov summon bahadi hadadi. Let it write summon together. The fact that the summon are separated indicates that what? That Allah Hamas said they're first different amounts. The Gemara says, "Bahadi hadadi sof nichtov nataf ushcheles vechalbina." Write summon together, and then write the other spices next to each other. If summon were together, I would have said they're both the same. The fact that they're separated by the other spices indicates to us that what? They represent different numbers. The Bein Rabbi Shmuel Tani, summon klal, nataf ushcheles vechalbina prat. Samim chazar v'kal, chazar v'kala. So we'll say, so Tishu Rabbi Shua, they have the same drasha like we said before. Samim is a klal, nataf shchez chabon as the prat. Samim is another klal, klal urpatu klal, iyat adan elakeina prat. Ma prat mufurash davar shakoter va'ol v'reichon no deif. Just like, restating what we said before, just like the prat is an item that causes smoke, the smoke ascends and it has a strong scent. Av kol davar shakoter va'ol v'reichon no deif. O eino elo, klal, O eina ela klal bichlal rishon uprat beprat rishon, or maybe not. Maybe at the end of the day, ultimately, again, the klal is just coming to compare itself to that which was stated earlier in the pasuk. Rashi says over here, klal ki klal rishon kulam afarshkan. We're going to see all of this what this means in just a bit. Amrit lav ha'ein lecha alecha ladun belashon acharon ela belashon rishon. There is no reason to go ahead and look to the latter part of the pasuk to define the klal or pratu klal. Rather, look in the earlier lashonos. Amar mar. O eino ela klal bichlal rishon uprat beprat rishon. So maybe we're referring ultimately again to that which was stated earlier. Amrit lav ha ein alech aladun. My kasha, hachir kasha. They will say, what's the problem over here? Samim basrai trei, ki samim kadmoi trein. So we'll say, why don't we say that the second samim in the pasuk represents two, just like the first samim in the pasuk represented two, to which the Gemara says, Hadir v'shani kidishaninon. We'll say that's why we go back and we answer like we answered before. The imkin nikra nichtov kras samim samim natav shchelas v'chalbana. If that's the case, that the two samim in the pasuk represent the same number of spices, then the two samim should have been mentioned next to each other. The fact that it's samim spices and then samim again indicates to us that the samim themselves represent different number of spices. Umay prat beprat vishon. What's the first part that we're referring to? Hachi kashle mine ilanos yalfi min nataf. Because we learn the fact that things that grow from a tree can be used from kitoris, not from nataf. Ugdile karka yalfi mishachalas. Right, and ultimately, again, that which grows from the ground that it can be used, we learn from shchelas. Velelfi nami milavona zaka. Why don't they learn it out ultimately from Levona Zaka as well? The Aisi Bechad Tzad. The Nesi Dava Sherecho Nodev Va'afa Pish in Koter Va'ola. Because they both say ultimately again, Levona Zaka is something that has a strong scent, even though what? It does not create smoke and the smoke doesn't ascend. Amar Imke Nichtov Prala Levona Zaka Mitzi V'Telif Mine. Then Levona Zaka, if Levona Zaka were to be the paradigmatic example, that even if something has a good smell but doesn't generate smoke, then let it be written in the middle and learn everything from that. Ikase Levona Zaka B'Mitzi, if Levona Zaka had been written in the middle, Hav Yitre Asar. Then ultimately, again, we would have reckoned that as a list of 12 spices. Imke nichtov kra levona zaka mitzi, v'chelbana lebasof, Reish Lakish army gufa ma'aloshon kitores, dover shekol tevaola. Therefore, Reish Lakish says, you're right. Instead, Sibo said, we were always trying to learn out the principles of kitores, ultimately from what? From the placement of the words. Now, the truth is, Reish Lakish is saying, or Sibo say, what we were saying is, if you dash in the psukim as a klalu pratu klal, the common denominator amongst all of the spices are that what? They have a strong scent, they generate smoke, and the smoke ascends. But you must point out that that's not necessarily true with all of the... There are certain spices which may not be like that. Therefore, Reish Lakish says the truth is, it's inherent in the Lashon of Kitores itself. The Lashon of Kitores means Davar Shekoter Va'ola. In order to be included in the Kitores family, it must be something that what? That creates smoke and the smoke ascends. Lav dafka, by the way, that the smoke ascends in a straight pillar on its own. Remember again about saying that was the result of what? Of the ma'ale ashan, that was the result. But nevertheless, it must generate a smoke on its own. Amar avchana barbizna, anav shim chasida. We learn a very important halacha here, which is, kol tainis she'in ba miposhe Yisrael. We'll say any time that there is a public fast day, right? Public fast day for some type of tzara for klal Yisrael, you must count sinners in the assembly. If you have a minion without sinners, it is not a proper minion. Where do we know this from? Shari chelbina recha ra. Chelbina has a very bad odor. Umana ha-kosef im samane ha-kitores. Yet they will say, what? You can't have kitores without chelbina. So we'll say, so an incredible, incredible musr, we'll say. There is no such thing as a congregation of tzaddikim. Any congregation of tzaddikim is not a congregation you want to be a part of. Good news, no one's in danger of this, right? No congregation in danger, right? And it's not a congregation you want to be a part of. To be part of Klal Yisrael means being together with the tzaddikim and being together with Shabbos. It's an incredibly important idea because sometimes we think that our goal is only to cocoon ourselves and bubble ourselves with people like us. It's not true. Part of being a member of Am Yisrael, I will say, is being with people who are not like you, right? And ultimately, again, hopefully having the right kind of hashba on all different kinds of people. This is what it means to be part of a community. What it means to be part of a tzibur. It means to be part of Ketores. The Gemara says, V'haraya, again, if Ketores was all, if it's all about purity and everybody being perfect, there would never be a chelbana. But yet, if you have Ketores without chelbana, ultimately, again, the Ketores is pasa. So we'll stop over here. We'll pick up a mirror session with the two dots tomorrow. You see, and anytime you have a mixture, you always find it. Very true.